stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Jeremy Mullen, editor of Zach's Counter-Strike portfolio, and we're going to kind of shoot the breeze and talk about this powerful stock rally, what's going on with that, where we think stocks are headed going into 2017, and also what's happening with commodities like gold and oil, where those might be going, what we see in the future. We're getting out of crystal balls today, Jeremy.
Yeah.
That could be dangerous.
Well, it could be helpful too.
It could be. So this rally, we have to start with that because I saw this stat that the Dow is up 20 of the last 25 trading days, and that has only happened one other time since 1970.
It's pretty wild, huh?
Yeah, it's super. It feels very different to me than a lot of the other rallies we've seen, you know, since the Great Recession, and there's been quite a few. But this one, it's just all boats are being lifted. It doesn't seem to want to end, and everybody's optimistic.
Yeah. I think this combination of a couple things. I mean, it's an obvious breakout over this 2,200 level in S&P. And, you know, ever since the election, this excitement over Trump's policies has really hit the markets. And I think, you know, excited new buyers as well as short covering who, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of big names were getting short over the last 3 to 6 months under this 2,200 level. And while we had, you know, Brexit and the quick move after the election, it hasn't panned out. They haven't gotten their move. So it's kind of the capitulation of the shorts and excitement of the new longs getting in, sending this market higher. And boy, I don't want to get in the way of it.
Me neither. So that brings up my next question. Is it, you know, I kind of talked about this in another podcast, but is it too late to get in or, you know, should you still dive in?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really hard to chase at higher prices.
Very hard.
There is that fear of missing out, though, that's happening with a lot of investors. But I think you always see these pullbacks. You know, there's always something popping up. And I think you just have to be very vigilant and buy at those moments and not be too scared to and then miss the next run up higher. I think, you know, like I mentioned the Brexit earlier, what a time to buy, right? And the election, I know that happened overnight, but if you were a futures trader, you could have grabbed when it was down 5%, limit down.
Right.
And I think, you know, you really have to be patient, wait for those dips. We have Fed coming up here. If the market dips down, make a watch list, get ready to buy those stocks that you've missed out on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like to have the lists available. Yeah. I keep them, you know, for certain of the shares that I feel have gotten a little away from me and that are running and that don't no longer meet my criteria. But if I only could get, you know, that 5-10% or, you know, maybe slightly more pullback, but I don't know if we're going to get that. But
yeah. Think of it as a shopping list. You know, there's a bunch of stocks that you like and now we've had a run up. Maybe they're just too expensive. So you're waiting for those coupons to come in the mail to get the goods you want. And when it comes down, don't be afraid when everybody else is panicking to pull the trigger and get in there.
So are we still going to get the Santa rally? Nobody's really talking about the Santa rally this year because we've had this tremendous, you know, November into December rally and nobody's like waiting for the Santa anymore.
Yes.
But the Santa,
Santa usually, came early.
It did, but yeah. It usually does come much later, even though everyone talks about it in early December. It usually is at the very end of the month.
Yeah, the week leading up into Christmas and that week where there's not a lot of volume.
Yeah.
And then that leads into the January effect where things really get going in that direction. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because we have gone so far and we have the inauguration coming up. We're going to start seeing like the reality of Trump's policies. If
right.
things are really going to get done the way the market thinks they're going to get done. And so I think there's a lot of things that can go wrong in between now and in the election or in the inauguration. But I also think we're probably going to just grind higher.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's what it seems like. I mean, the Fed tomorrow might have throw a curveball at us. You never know what might happen. So I think we have to wait. That's the next big risk, even though I think the market's just kind of pricing in that quarter point, and that's what we'll get, and the market will be okay with that. Some of the language afterwards might determine, you know, where bonds might go, and that could freak out the market. Probably not. But yeah, I think this is a slow, steady grind is what I'm seeing, and, you know, into the inauguration and into earnings season.
Yeah, what about earnings season? I was kind of looking around. I was looking at some of the banks, and some of the bigger regional banks actually report kind of early. They start reporting like January 13th through that week of, you know, 17th, 18th, that's only a couple weeks away now.
Right.
And so we're going to already hear, that's like pre-inaugural. We're going to hear from some of them, and the banks have been super hot. Obviously, whatever they're reporting about this prior quarter has nothing to do with, you know, any changes in the election and all that stuff, really, because there's been no policy change yet,
right,
other than rising interest rates, which they will probably be commenting on.
Yeah.
But should I be concerned about earnings season somehow throwing a wrench into it, or will people just ignore that because they know it's not reflective of policy going forward?
Well, I think the bank trade is to get out before earnings. And when those headline numbers come out, like you said, it's not going to be reflected. So there's going to be some selling into those numbers, I would assume. I mean, I just can't see them just skyrocketing up higher from here. So getting out before earnings, having them come in, and then getting back in while this Trump trade continues, while Dodd-Frank gets rolled back or repealed or whatever they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And that's your long-term next 4 years trade will be the banks. Because, I mean, that is probably a four-year-old move that's going to long-term happen. But for the short-term, for those earnings numbers aren't going to be reflected. So I would like to be a buyer on that dip. But I don't want to be long going into those earnings, just because you could lose 5%, you know, maybe even 10% on some of those banks.
Okay. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
That's that Counter-Strike trader in me.
I know.
Always looking for the dip on that.
I know. Well, that's good to, you know, people need to know that nothing goes straight up for forever either.
Right.
And so for anyone out there who's kind of panicking, like, oh, I missed this whole trade. I've missed it the last month and a half, or I decided to sell all my stocks ahead of the election because I was scared.
Yeah.
You know, there's always opportunities. There's always chances.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'll come.
Now, what do you think? We were kind of talking before the podcast about commodities. There's been a lot of, interest in gold this year. It's kind of been good and bad. And a lot of people thought that the gold trade was maybe making a comeback, myself included, about in the middle of the summer. But it has not been good the last, you know, couple months here. And gold has really fallen. Is this a buying opportunity in gold, or should I kind of stay away? And I caveat that by saying I saw this interesting little stat for those who are thinking like, oh, maybe this is a chance to get in there. And it was from 1981 to 1999, you know, gold had that big run up into 1980, right up mm-hmm. into there, and stocks were doing nothing. But from that period, when you had the bull market in stocks begin, gold actually fell 51% over all those years. So basically, it wasn't, you know, you did not want to buy on the dips any of those years, while the S&P 500 advanced 1,900%.
Right.
Could we be entering like a similar for gold?
I never really been a big fan of gold. There was a period earlier in the year when Japan was going negative interest rates when I assumed, okay, if Japan goes negative and the rest of the world does go negative, that was when it was kind of weird, right after the panic back in March, April. Gold was starting to take off. And I was like, maybe there's something to this story here if everybody goes negative interest rates. Well, that has flipped all of a sudden, and it's flipped really quick. And so gold is no longer there for me as I don't want to go long.
Okay.
Before that happened, you know, about a year ago, I was like, gold's going 800, gold's going 800.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
And, you know, that run up to 1400 or so was pretty quick. And I'm sure it took out a lot of shorts like me who thought, you know, this is definitely going down. But now, you know, those shorts that were, you know, stuck with it, they're looking good. And I think, you know, as interest rates go higher, gold continues to go down. This fear trade that gold has is not there. You can see the VIX at all time. You know,
definitely not there.
Around 12, possibly going to single digits if we keep going higher. Who knows? The fear trade is not there. And if you don't have that fear and you don't have that kind of narrative that we saw earlier in the year, I just don't see the reason to buy it. There's no dividend. There's a better place to put your money.
What about as an inflation play, though, which we haven't seen? There were people who bought it in 2007, 2008, because they thought inflation was going to go out of control.
Right.
And they bought it for that reason. And it paid off for them at that period, but the inflation never really came either, but gold did rise.
I mean, until it comes and still it shows itself, I'm not
it's too early.
I'm not convinced. Yeah.
Okay.
So for me, it's kind of a it's kind of a no trade from here. I don't want to short gold. I don't, even though I think it's going lower. But as far as getting long it, I just can't hear.
Okay. And so that would exclude the gold miners too, obviously, because their earnings are predicated on the price
exactly.
of gold.
Yeah.
If you believe it's going lower, you do not want to be in the gold
right.
miners.
Right. Yeah, those miners have taken a nice hit as of
yes.
late.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I think I kind of agree with you. We both agree that this might not be a buying opportunity in the gold area. But what about oil? That's also been like maybe one of the number one stories of this year. It looks like it did bottom, you know, earlier in the year. And now we have this OPEC agreement, and even the Russians are cutting for the first time in 8 years.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
You have a lot of non-OPEC members. They all came together and agreed to cut. And, you know, that was over the weekend. I think the Saudis weren't happy with how high oil went on the initial OPEC cuts. And so they got together. They promised even more cuts, and oil spiked Sunday night to 54.
Yeah.
And, you know, oil looks good. Oil looks like it's headed higher. I don't know if we see 60 in the next couple months, but yeah, we could get there. I know T-Boo Pickens was out talking his book and saying we're going to 60 here in the next couple months.
Yeah, I heard him.
You know, it's possible. So when you're looking at stocks and these oil plays,
you should be getting in.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if you're looking at the market in general, you're looking at some of these oil stocks. They haven't had that run that some of the other, like a financial stock,
right? Has not had. Like the banks,
right? And I'm not saying that it has the same story there, but also natural gas has had a tremendous run over there, and it has to do with your favorite topic, the weather, and how cold it has been. You know, in the Midwest and the Northeast. And how cold it's
going to
be.
What's it at now? Nat gas.
Well, we touched 380 the other day and pulled in. I'm not sure where we are today.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we were looking earlier in the year under 2. So it's, you know, doubled almost. It might have even doubled since those March lows. So that's...
And that helps a lot of the EMPs who have, I mean, almost every EMP has
plays.
Both. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what you're looking at. You're looking at kind of a, when you're looking at the stocks, you're looking at both oil and gas kind of plays instead of just purely oil or nat
right.
gas.
There are some EMPs that are more heavily oily, as Shiraz calls them.
Right.
So you do have to watch when you're looking in that area about what is the percentage. They'll always tell you in their quarterly reports, like what percentage was the nat gas, what percentage was the oil, and you can pretty much figure out who's the oily ones and who are the gassy ones.
Right. The one big problem with oil is the higher this price goes, the more of these rigs come online, the more of these shale plays come back online, the more incentive there is to more North Dakota happen again, right? So the higher price goes up, the more supply comes online. So you kind of had to figure it's probably not going to go back to those levels we saw over 100.
Anytime soon. No, but they don't need that.
No, they don't. But I could see, you know, in this range of 45 to 60 in the next couple months here towards the upper end of that range. Above 60, I'm not sure if we're going to get there.
Yeah. We really don't want, like, you know, $80 oil again here in the United States. I mean, because that means higher gasoline.
Yeah, it's great for the consumer to keep it. And this is kind of, maybe this is the Goldilocks area for oil
like
in here in the mid-50s.
Yeah, because I know that they were saying gasoline prices are already rising because it's up over 50. It's not awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really don't want to go back to like $4 a gallon or anything. Kind of gotten used to it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to except for the, you know, the oil companies.
Yeah, yeah. So that would take, you know, some money out of people's pockets if we went back to that.
Right.
So there is, I do think there is kind of this Goldilocks area, and hopefully we're going to get in there. And anything over, you know, 50, 55, the EMPs can still, you know, drill and make some money off of that. So it's not awful for them.
Yeah. I mean, if you follow this, I would watch the DOE inventory numbers that come out. I mean, they kind of tell a story of, you know, if supply is building.
What day do those come out?
That's a Wednesday.
Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's every week, right?
Yeah. It's every Wednesday morning.
Okay. Yeah. So I can Google for that and just find it.
Yeah, and you can see like the changes week to week and kind of give you an idea of, okay, what kind of supply is coming online, you know, a month-to-month period. And then you can kind of get, like, look at oil's reaction and see how it's moving to those numbers, and you kind of get a feel for, you know, which way it's going and which way the stocks that follow oil should go as well.
Yeah. So getting back to 2017 and kind of what we see happening there, do you have any like secret sectors or industries that nobody's really talking about that you kind of like going into 2017, or is everything the known story out there? Or should I just be in stocks in general?
Yeah, I mean, stocks in general should work. It's one of these years that I think it's going to work in 2017. Okay. As long as, you know, everything that we see coming with Trump happens. You know, I right. still think the guy's a wild card. Anything can happen.
It is.
So, you know, part of my gut says always be careful. But I think this is the year to be in stocks. I think this is a potential breakout year. We've had this awful consolidation the last 3 years and, you know, bouncing off that 2150, 2200 area. And we've broken it and it looks like we're going. So, as far as secret sectors, you know, the casino names, it just keeps up popping up for me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, with Macau's coming back, and I know there was recently some government interference news that hit the wire, which is always, political risk is always big in China, of course.
Yeah.
And Macau, for those who don't know, is Las Vegas of China. And a lot of these casinos like Wynn, Las Vegas Sands, MGM, you know, they've gone into Macau and built their own casinos, and they've had big investments there. And I think this is the year they finally reap rewards. We have these, China bottoming, so their numbers say. Macau, I've been looking at the Macau numbers, they're bouncing back. And not only that, but, you know, if the consumer's doing well, if we're getting these tax cuts, boy, they're going to have a lot of money to blow.
Yeah. Yeah, anything travel-related, I feel, will do well.
Yeah, exactly. With a strong dollar, especially for, the U.S., consumer,
yeah.
I mean, they're going to want to travel abroad, and you know, maybe some will go to Macau and blow some money as well.
They might.
Yeah. But I mean, these casinos, I've followed them my whole career, and they just really have been beaten down over the last couple of years and bounced back last year somewhat. But I think it's time for them to continue on, and this is the year of the casino, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Nobody's talking about them, so
yeah,
I like
nobody's
this.
Talking about them, so no. That's why I like to talk about them. The obvious plays are, you know, the financials. And the it's basically every financial, the Shures, yeah. The banks. I mean, they're all doing well. The ones you want to avoid, I mean, oil plays probably be good. But the ones you want to avoid are the utilities and the REITs, anything exposed to a dividend if your interest rates are going higher.
Yeah, what do you think about, like, those rotation plays, like, out of, you know, Procter & Gamble and some of those names? Is that, that's worked for, like, a decade now, 10 years.
Yeah, I mean.
Is that over? Should I be exiting?
I think what you saw in the last month since the election was real violent sector rotation that will continue on for the next year. So, yeah, I mean, those stocks that got hit are probably going to continue to get hit this year. With the exception of tech, I saw tech getting hit a little bit. I think that was a little unfair. I don't think if the market's going to go higher, tech will go higher. That it's just going to happen. But, like, some of these fundamental plays, like, I'm in this stock for a dividend, like the Utes, the REITs, that is real rotation out of those stocks, and I think they could, at the very least, lag, if not go down.
Yeah, speaking of the REITs, I don't know if you saw this, but Jose Canseco, you know, the baseball player, tweeted out at Donald Trump that he should be telling people to stay away from the S&P 500 index because there's all those REITs in there,
yeah.
And rising rates will hurt the REITs. People were kind of making fun of this tweet because it is kind of funny. But he does have a point. Like, you might not want to stay away from the S&P 500 index because of it, but you might want to stay away from the REITs because of it.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. To stay away from S&P in general is kind of silly because, think about it. So all these other stocks are going up, but on the down days, what's going to go up instead? The REITs, right?
Right.
Because it's just going to rotate. On the down days, the REITs and the Utes will come up. So overall, when everything else goes down, those two sectors will support it in a way,
yeah.
If that makes sense. So it's kind of silly to group it all together like that. But yeah, if you're trying to outperform, then you want to be heavyweight in those other sectors that are potentially doing well, and underweight the REITs and the Utes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been looking a lot at, we talked about this topic, at like the farming, the agriculture stocks. Those have been in the doghouse for a couple of years now, but certainly, you know, we've done a couple podcasts on just talking about how awful it is. And I do feel like possibly 2017 could be a turnaround, or the start of the turnaround for some of them, because it's been so dark. And, you know, some of the potash, maybe the potash prices, it looks like maybe that has bottomed, and that is helpful to them because it's like oil for them. And if they can get, you know, any kind of increase in the potash price and the urea and all that, then it improves their earnings at least slightly.
Yeah, I think the big problem with those ags is the oversupply. And, you know, when we were talking about this, I think we mentioned that for each acre of farmage, they are planting more and more.
Right. I mean,
the technology to do so has helped them do this,
yeah.
and they're just pumping out so much soybeans, yeah. so much corn and wheat,
yeah.
and it's just oversupplied the market. And this is globally, it's not just in the U.S. So I think the big factor is the weather, you know?
Yeah,
Come around next April, May, watch the weather, and if, you know, we're having drought or we're having too much rain, usually these ag prices will tick up, and that is will directly affect those, the potashes, the mosaics, and
yeah.
Those kinds of stocks. But for, like, bottoming, I mean,
yeah.
they are, I mean, they're pretty low.
Yeah.
I mean, can they go lower from here? I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
if the business
sure.
is, if business doesn't pick up.
Right.
But that's all dependent on, you know, the ag prices. So.
Yeah. What do you think about China in 2017? Do you see, could there be some hidden story there? Everybody's kind of ignoring them, like, on an economic level. They've maybe been in a recession for like the last year, even though they would never admit it, but
right.
things have been slow. Let's just call it that. But it's not, there's not been huge headlines once they got past the stock market crash over there. You know, there's been some talk about the housing bubble has resumed because prices skyrocketed in the major cities again for housing. But otherwise, you know, it looks like maybe they're starting to buy some more commodities again and maybe they've bottomed. Could that be another impetus for a stronger global economy, obviously, in 2017?
Definitely, I think so. I mean, Macau kind of shows that as well, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And I would love to be an all-in China kind of guy, but you don't know exactly what you're getting.
That
you know?
Is true.
And especially with Trump in the White House, that makes me nervous as well about being all-in China guy. You know, it's just the trade wars that could stem from whatever talk back and forth they're going to,
yeah.
because you know it's going to happen. They're going to play hardball. And, you know, who knows if they come to some compromise. I know they were battling over Taiwan recently.
Yeah.
But, like, the currency manipulator deal is a big deal. So we'll see what happens with that. And, yeah, that can really affect Chinese stocks. So we're going to have to wait and see on that. And if there can be some kind of, you know, compromise or friendship forming between the Trump administration and China, then... And there can be an all clear signal for, okay, you know, full steam ahead. Let's go.
So does that mean you're focusing more on domestic companies here in the U.S. for your investing then for 2017?
Yeah, but China is such a great trade sometimes. So if there is a certain story for a Chinese company, I want to be in that. Yes, macro, I'm going to be careful. But yeah, for the most part, focusing here, but always looking for that trade overseas as well.
Okay.
And those Chinese stocks move. So
they
that's
do,
why I like to trade
sure.
them, right?
Yeah. What about IPOs? Could we see that market really pick up?
I hope so.
I mean, it's been pretty dead, but there's a couple big ones waiting in the wings, or we all believe they are.
Including Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat has filed some papers.
Right.
There's a couple others. There's some rumors that Pinterest may finally be heading that way. Airbnb,
right.
we've been waiting on for a while now.
Yeah, and then is Uber ever going to get around
to it? I don't know. They
it?
Keep denying it.
Yeah. I mean,
so.
That would be the biggest. I mean,
yeah.
if they come to market, that would be great. But yeah, it doesn't seem like anytime soon. But yeah, Snapchat is probably going to be the biggest one. And then there's the ones that you just don't know about yet.
Right.
And then a month before the IPO, you hear about them, everybody's excited, and
yeah.
boom, it's the next high IPO. So you always got to keep your eye open on these IPOs. I would love to see them coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hotter the market is, the higher the S&P goes.
Right.
They
you think that
back.
Would bring the animal spirits in the IPO market back, too.
Definitely.
I mean, we all saw what happened in, like, 1999
yeah.
when, you know, the overall market was, you know, screaming higher.
Right. I mean, these newer companies are going to go to places where they can be benefited the most or make the most money. So, you know, there's all this private equity funding that they can access to. I mean,
yeah.
there's so much money out there like that now. So that's kind of the first step for companies now, I feel, instead of going to the stock market. And that's unfortunate because you miss a lot of the growth there
yeah.
as an investor. You don't get in. The big smart money gets in first.
That's true.
So I think that is a big hamper for IPOs. And that's why you'll see a lot of these IPOs come to the market and they go straight down. You know, that's kind of annoying if you're an investor.
Yeah.
You know, buy an IPO and you lose 50% in a month. Like, what is that about?
I know. I've seen plenty of those. I've been looking at the restaurant
yeah.
stocks.
I mean,
a lot of them were recent IPOs. And I'm like, wow, that's
most
brutal.
Of them. So why would a company want to come to the market if that's what's going to happen?
Right.
If their value is going to get cut in half. So that's something to think about until that you see that changing. I don't think the IPO market would get hot.
Okay. Do you have like a top pick or, you know, something you can recommend for 2017 or?
Yeah, I just bought Alta.
And, oh, you did?
Yeah. I just bought Alta and Counter-Strike. And they had earnings, you know.
Well, they killed it.
Yeah, they always seem to. and the stock, you know, I know there's valuation concerns for some investors.
Yes.
But technically speaking, I like it. Came down the 50-day right after it gapped up. I mean, sold off 30 points right down there. And it's bouncing now. I have my fancy Fibonacci targets and stuff like
okay.
that out there. And I think this stock is going close to 300, if not 300. I mean, it's close enough to where it'll probably print. And, you know, this is just one of those momentum stocks that who cares about the PE? It just goes, right? So until proven otherwise, I think as long as it stays above 230, it'll get there up to 300, technically speaking. Of course, you know, if some kind of fundamental flaw hits them, there could be issues. But
price
we're going
into
holiday season here. And, you know, I like to buy my wife beauty stuff. She likes that. A gift card to Ulta sounds good. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I think this will probably be another good quarter for them. And they'll start off with a bang in 2017.
Now, everyone knows I like Ulta and I own it in my own personal portfolio, but it is a little scary for me to hear you say, like, you know, who cares what the valuation is?
Oh, I know.
But you're the trader guy. I'm the valuation person. So it is pricey. There's no doubt about it. You're not buying it for value out there. Everyone don't tweet at me like, Tracy, it's overpriced. Yes, we know. You're buying it because that comp was almost 17% and no one else in retail is doing that.
Exactly. These are the guys, one of the only guys who Amazon hasn't been able to eat their launch, right? I mean, and that's why people want to be in this.
Yeah.
Because they figured it out. And until they stop growing, I don't want to say who cares about the PE too many times.
Right.
But who
but
cares?
Right now,
if they can grow into that, it's fine.
That's right. Okay, so my top pick, other than Alta, which I do like, is KeyCorp, which is one of the big regional banks. I actually own it in the insider trader. I don't own it in my own personal portfolio because the insiders were buying it much earlier in the year when the bank stocks really got beat up in January and February. A ton of insiders, it was like 10 of them went in there to buy KeyCorp. So that was a real big sign. And I feel even with the huge run-up, it has soared this year, that there's still a lot of value there and there's still, you know, growth going on into 2017, especially if the economy heats up. They're going to be giving out more loans. They're, you know, I like the region that they're in. They're kind of in, you know, the heartlandish area. Yes. Yeah. And so I like that. I think they're going to benefit a lot from what could happen in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, I still like the banks and nothing wrong with the big regional guys, I feel.
Great chart from the election, you know,
I
from
know.
The beginning of October 12 to 18 and a half, 50 day at 15, 200 day under 13. I mean, like if one of those scenarios happens where they have earnings and
if it pulls back
down, like look for that 50 day to help support. Maybe that's your entry. What kind of dividend did you say?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't look.
It probably
it's not huge for these guys, but you know, they pay something.
I was going to say, you get paid while you wait for that to bounce back and figure out, you know, what Dodd-Frank's going to be like and, you know, that whole Trump trade for the next 4 years.
Yeah. So, good. This is some good discussion about what might happen in 2017. I always like the end of the year, personally, because it's always optimistic.
I always liked it because you get to start fresh.
No matter whether
you had a bad year or good year. You know, as from a trader's perspective, if I had a bad year, I could start fresh and make it better. If I had a good year, I get to try to make it even better.
Yeah.
So there's always looking up.
Exactly. And hopefully this year we see a little bit better than we saw last year, which we won't go into that. You know, last January, that was a bummer. But I do think, you know, we're a little more bullish this year.
It does feel a lot better. I remember going into December of last year with the rate hikes. The market started to tail off. There was some action in there that I was unsure about. The first week was so violent. It was pretty amazing. Maybe we see the opposite. Maybe we see a violent move to the upside of that first week and the January effect just gets going right away.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right. I love all this. Bullish. Okay. So some of the tickers we talked about, we did talk about gold. So you can, if you're daring, get into there with the GLD, that's like the gold ETF. We talked about Ulta, ULTA, KeyCorp, KEY. Some of the casino names, Wynn is just WYNN, right?
Yeah.
Wynn, and then Las Vegas Sands, LVS is that one. And you can always just buy the indexes. You know, the S&P 500 index, this SPY is out there. So if you just feel like the entire market is going to, you know, go higher, nothing wrong with indexing.
Just typed it up and it's at the highs of the day.
Okay, so it's still on the rally. So you can check out all of our other podcasts that Jeremy and I have talked about some interesting topics. And we have covered all those agriculture stocks. We did a couple of podcasts on that. We did gold too, didn't we? Earlier this year in 2016, we did a gold podcast when it was hot. We talked about that one. So you can go back and listen and see how wrong we were on that one. Or maybe we were right. I think we were wrong. I can't remember now.
Two scenarios.
We probably did.
So if you picked the right one, then we were right.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's always good to be reminded of, you know, where things stood a while ago, because the conditions always are changing. So it's good to kind of remind yourself of what we thought was going to happen. But you can check all those out on soundcloud.com and also on zacks.com. So until next week, I'll see you then.